Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome to another episode of eLaborate Topics. I am your host and leadership mentor, Tywana Wilson. If this is your first time tuning in to eLaborate Topics, welcome. So glad you have landed on this podcast. It is a weekly podcast that gives you practical leadership and technical strategies that you can use both inside and outside of the laboratory. Myself, along with my co-hosts, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, bring you these practical tips along with our amazing guest. We have over 100 episodes, so if you are just now getting familiar with this podcast, go to directimpactbroadcasting.com or your favorite podcast platform and binge listen to some of your favorite episodes. I'm telling you, there's absolutely something for everybody, whether you are a laboratory leader or you are a technologist on the bench or you are a phlebotomist or processor, or maybe you're thinking about getting into the laboratory medicine space, then we have something for you. So make sure you check it out and don't be stingy. Make sure you share this podcast out with those in your network and those that could benefit from hearing this message. So today I have something for you. I'm going to put this on your mind to think about, especially as you are recruiting and retaining your staff. I know right now staff shortages are at an ultimate high, and the thinking is we have to pay more to be competitive. And there could be some other underlying issues as to why you are unable to recruit and retain staff that you might not see. So it may not be all about the money. It could be something unknown and unseen, a little something called unconscious bias. And I know you're probably thinking, really? Unconscious bias really could be playing a part in my staff? Absolutely. It could be playing a huge part. And it's one of those things that sometimes is hard to communicate. And so that could be a reason why people are not coming to your organization to work, or they may not be staying in your organization. So I'm going to give you just a quick high level training on unconscious bias and how it might show up in your recruiting efforts along with your retention. So it's not always about money. There are other factors, because even if you can pay your technologist, your pathologist, your processors, your phlebotomist and get them in the door, if there are underlying issues happening within your organization, they're not going to stay. People don't want to stay in an environment that they don't feel welcome, that they don't feel heard, and they don't feel safe. So before we get into exactly what unconscious bias is, I want you to think about this. Picture an elementary school teacher or an Olympic athlete or even an engineer. Jot down a few words and describe them. How did you come up with that picture? That's the question that I want you to think about. How did you come up with your picture of your elementary school teacher, your Olympic athlete, and your engineer? And what did you think of when you pictured them? Chances are you had a particular image in your mind, and that image might not have been based on fact, but on presumptions. The human brain is wired to use personal experiences to create inferences and shortcuts. So really what it's doing is it's quickly identifying patterns and using them to categorize everything. which plants are safe to eat, which animals are predators, and where to find food, and tons of other things. And that evolutionary function helped humans survive and thrive over the millennia. But on the flip side, that same brain faculty, that same wiring can get in the way when we categorize other humans based on external traits. And doing that might lead us to some unconscious or implicit bias. So let's get into what is conscious or implicit biases and unconscious. There's really two categories of biases in our studies, or when you hear this topic: conscious or explicit biases and unconscious or implicit biases. Unconscious bias is usually thought of as a social stereotypes that typically focus on others that are not from the same conscious area. So here are some quick facts about unconscious bias. Unconscious bias is more common than the conscious or explicit bias. Unconscious bias may not concur with the conscious bias of an individual, and unconscious bias may be triggered by an event or situation. So you're probably thinking like, okay, so what exactly does that mean? How does it work? Well, unconscious biases are deeply rooted in the human brain. The human brain is constantly collecting and categorizing data. This data is automatically made is between good and bad. So you're constantly categorizing data, what you've seen, stuff that you've seen on the media that you may or may not have direct exposure with. Your brain is categorizing that as this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. So think about a caveman times, for example, when humans had to judge between a good situation and a bad situation in a moment's notice. As time has evolved, this same type of survival instinct has been ingrained in our decision-making process. So today, these assumptions or biases are often the result of social conditioning and life experiences. Researchers believe that often started with early childhood exposures to racism and biases. We are not born with racist thoughts. We learned racist thoughts or biases. And these judgments or biases affect many aspects of our personal and work lives, which can hinder decision making. So this has a huge impact on the workplace. Unconscious biases affect an organization from the top executive to the most recently hired employee. It's not like you can turn off your bias. And when people say, well, I don't have any biases, that's untrue. We all have biases, right? And it could be good or it could be bad, but we all have them. So let's talk about this from a recruitment standpoint, and how does that show up in recruiting for our next leaders in our laboratories? The recruitment process is the first step in hiring a successful group of individuals, your rising stars, your industry leaders that are going to bring success and profitability to your organization. So if this first step is tainted with unconscious biases, guess what? The result can be a narrow applicant pool. So think about this. Think about you get a stack of applications. I know you're like, well, we're not getting a stack of applications. But okay, when things get better, and they will, when you have to go through a stack of applications, a manager might have to begin to trim down the list to just a few interviewees. So say, for instance, you got a stack of applications of 50 applicants. You're not going to interview all 50 applicants. So now you have to go through and start narrowing down that application pool to those that will make a phone screen or a first round interview. So how are those applicants being judged? Well, if the hiring manager, or in this, it could be your recruiter, is focused on specific attributes like what school did they go to? You know, what is their true skills and talents. The workplace begins to become very one-sided, right? So if we are focused on, you know, their school, where did they grow up, you know, things of that kind of nature, and not really what they can bring to the role, then it starts to create an environment that's one-sided and maybe not one that the employee is going to stay in. Sometimes when hiring managers are going through, they are looking for candidates that resemble themselves, right? And so that's an unconscious bias there in the recruitment process. There are also a few other challenges that hiring managers could face in the recruiting process. So the first one is narrowing down the talent sourcing. So often when jobs are posted, they're posted in the same places, or maybe that company or organization approaches the same networks to source talent. So you might not even realize that when you do this, say for instance, you always post just in your local paper, you know, or you always just post in one particular community group, you might not realize you're missing opportunities to reach a more diverse talent pool and communities. So say for instance, if you only source at predominantly white institutions, colleges and universities, you might be missing a whole pool of people that maybe went to historically black colleges and universities. So always sourcing in the exact same spot, that introduces some unconscious bias. Culture fit confusion. So sometimes the ideal of culture fit, you know, you want somebody to come in and be acclimated to your culture, it could be accidentally used for unconscious discrimination and bias. Culture fit means that a candidate shares similar values, attitudes, and goals as the team. It does not mean that a candidate must look the same or have the same background or social status as the team. So sometimes, again, based off of your experience and your brain is processing and it's going back to its storage of good and bad, you know, it could introduce some unconscious bias there. So let's talk about some tips that you can use in the recruiting process to avoid some unconscious bias. The first step is awareness. Awareness is the first step in being able to manage your biases. And there are some practical ways that you can avoid unconscious bias while recruiting. I'm not gonna lie, it takes work and it takes you being intentional each and every time to eliminate some of these unconscious biases that you might have in your process. So I'm going to give you 6 ways to address bias and improve it in your recruiting process or practices. So the first tip would be start with data. Try to understand your company's structural biases by identifying and measuring them. This could be tracking your organizational demographics, including gender, race, ethnicity, and age across different departments. And if you notice that certain demographics make up the majority of your organization or the majority of a particular department, then flag it as a potential warning sign of unconscious bias. So if you are in the laboratory and you notice that there is a particular demographic that makes up the majority of your front-end team, your processing team, your phlebotomy team, then you can flag that as a potential sign of unconscious bias, because there could be a reason why you are recruiting the same type of demographic in that particular role or in that particular department. The second tip is evaluate the messaging and the job posting, as well as where you are sourcing talent, which I talked about before. And so sometimes the messaging in your job description could be it could have some problematic language in the posting that might discourage certain populations from applying. So I know sometimes we think our job descriptions are standard, we use standard languaging, but is the languaging that you're using problematic, where it might for some people, they might say, no, based off of this job description and the wording that they use, I'm not even going to apply for it. So some examples of thinking about different words that could be discouraging, words such as competitive and headstrong. And so those are often associated with masculine, whereas words like cooperative and supportive may seem feminine. So coded language may discourage someone from applying. So neutral, or at least try to maintain a balance in your word choice, so the messaging in your job descriptions. And then think about the source or the medium in which you are posting your openings in the networks that you use. Referrals can be great, but again, they can often limit talent diversity. So actively source new and different networks or mediums for assessing a broader candidate pool. So while referrals are nice, do you know somebody that may want this position? Sometimes it could be limiting the potential talent that's out there. Tip number three would be standardize the application process. And what does that look like? It looks like standardizing interview questions. Unstructured interviews leave more room for bias. So you really want to ask the same basic questions across roles and departments. And then also, if multiple people are interviewing a candidate, wait to compare notes until after everyone is finished interviewing to avoid influencing each other. And I can say that when you don't have structured interviews and you're going off of, well, I'm gonna go off of what the candidate says, sometimes you may ask deeper questions on one candidate than you did on the other. And they may appear to be more qualified based off of maybe their scenario resonated with what was happening in your environment. And then you are starting to have a bias against the other candidates. So standardizing your interview questions using a script to keep it neutral and consistent. And I absolutely think that you should wait. If it's an interview team, don't discuss after each one, because then it could introduce that bias. For some roles, you might need to add a typing test. So it could be, or some sort of skills test. So it could be for your processors, for example, if you want them to be able to data entry in so many specimens per hour, you might want to have a skills test or a typing test. And so when you do this, it lends a more objective idea of how the candidate will perform in the daily job responsibilities, especially if that's a huge part of the role. Tip number four would be define a clear criteria. So reducing bias with clear candidate evaluation criteria. So avoid vague and potentially biased reasons for rejecting a candidate, such as, I didn't get a good vibe from him or her. So making sure that you have criteria that aid in objective decision making. So before you post the job, consider the job responsibilities and qualifications. So create a detailed list of responsibilities for that open position and determine the required requirements to fulfill them. And narrow your focus on what is really required for the role. Sometimes these job descriptions are very bland. And when you get the candidate in there, if you don't have a script or something universal, you might tell one candidate one thing, another candidate something else, you know, based off of maybe questions that they ask you as the interview team, which can introduce some bias in the process. When you talk about culture fit, define the values, attitudes, and goals that comprise your company culture. Is it a passion for helping people? Do you value innovation, change, new ideas? So having that clear criteria of culture and culture fit. And then the criteria for a successful interview or skills test, if you do include a test as part of that. So set guidelines and create a rubric to evaluate what makes an interview or skills test or application exercise successful. Again, these are all criteria that you can use to eliminate or reduce the unconscious biases in the recruitment process. The fifth tip is audit hiring practices. So complete a hiring decision and reasoning audit. Ask yourself or interview a team why you're choosing one candidate over another. Are the reasons for accepting or rejecting a candidate based on the hiring criteria? So if you go back to what you said when you posted the job, why are you disqualifying one candidate over another candidate? So is it based on the hiring criteria or is it based on assumptions? Actively identify and challenge your personal biases and that of your team to prevent them from driving your decisions so that you truly are recruiting the best candidate for the role. And the last tip that I have in the recruitment process, which could be a little bit harder to do, not impossible, but a little bit harder, is de-identifying in the hiring technique. So try removing identifiers that might trigger biases. So while resumes give employers information about a candidate's education, skill set, and relevant experience to make more objective hiring decisions, they also contain details that may surface race, class, gender, and other biases. So if possible, HR could remove candidate names, their school names, and other identifying characteristics from resumes before giving it to the hiring managers or the hiring team to review them. So those are six steps or tips that could be used in the recruitment process to reduce that unconscious bias. So now that we've covered the recruitment process, let's jump in and cover real quick the retention part of how unconscious bias shows up in employee retention. One of the ways it shows up is in employee retention. So you got the candidate, but now in retaining your team is employee turnover and the low morale. So some of the biases that I'm going to talk about are related to an employee's choice to stay within their particular team, their lab, or the hospital or organization as a whole. So one way, or one might believe that a workplace is lacking diversity would have good morale and low turnover. However, the opposite is true. The effect of unconscious biases may result in a workplace that's filled with animosity, distrust, and bullying. And employees that do not fit what could be the expected norm are soon isolated from the rest of employees, and eventually they want to leave the company. You can see this sometimes when you have a team and it's not very diverse, and it could be diversity in background, it could be diversity in thinking and in mindset and experience. And if you have somebody that is a total opposite to that, then it could create an environment for them that is, they feel bullied or they don't feel that they can trust anybody in the environment because they feel like some of the things that are said in the environment or the way that they are treated leads way for them to leave the organization. So it leads to low morale and also employee turnover. There's also unconscious bias, and you'll see it when there's decreased productivity. So again, you get the star talent into your organization or into your laboratory, but then if they don't feel like they fit in well with their coworkers, then they may not have the initiative and drive to excel at their job. So individuals that feel disconnected from the rest of the workforce tend to do the work asked of them, but really nothing more. And so these biases are often based on race, gender, age, ethnicity, and can cause a sense of inequality. So this disrupts the workplace and affects how employees and departments work together. And what does that do to your bottom line? What does that do with working with teams across your organization? A lack of cooperation on projects or business activities lowers the overall productivity of the company, and eventually it hits the bottom line or the profitability margin. Another way unconscious bias can show up is in reputation. So in today's world of technology, social media, online reviews, the reputation of an organization, a business, a laboratory, a hospital is almost worth more than money in the bank. Your reputation is everything, right? So it does not take a long time for bad reviews, employees that are not satisfied to begin to circulate. And so there are websites available for employees to voice their opinions about an employer. So in case if you didn't know, there are. So Glassdoor, Indeed, LinkedIn, they are all just a few of the websites that employees can go to and actually voice their opinions about an employer. An employer that is biased may develop a bad reputation. So if you got biased recruiting processes, or then once people get into your laboratory or your hospital, the environment is biased, then people can go to these websites and say, hey, I wouldn't work for that organization. It doesn't matter how much they're paying, because you're going to feel like you're bullied. You're going to feel like you are working in an environment where you can't trust anybody. So soon only applicants that what happens is only applicants that fit the mold will actually apply, and all of the excellent opportunities that the company could have benefited from with a more diverse workforce are now gone because they don't want to work there, you know, due to reputation, or they only hire this kind of a lab person, or if you get over there, you're going to be treated like this, or the mindset is this. And these are all ways that can hurt retention. So here are some things that you can do. You can survey your employees, ask your employees about the company culture, their experience with unconscious bias, and their perceptions of company fairness and inclusiveness. So you can add in some questions such as, I feel comfortable voicing my opinions at work, or I think my performance is evaluated fairly. Or you could ask open-ended questions to allow employees to expand on their ideas and experiences. So survey your employees and not just your management team. Survey everybody in the organization. Increasing awareness would be the second tip. So provide unconscious bias training for management and or for all of your employees in the organization, especially your leaders. But I really think it should be for everybody within the organization. So this training can really kickstart your company's understanding of unconscious bias and help your team identify personal biases and maybe even give some strategies for reducing and avoiding biases in decisions and interactions at work. So you have to make it a part of your everyday action. So regularly talking about unconscious bias can bring it to the forefront of your company's awareness, and communicating the company's commitment to diversity and inclusivity and help encourage team members to vocalize concerns and brainstorm solutions as well. So increasing that awareness. And then tip three would be structure reviews and promotions. This is another way for retention and reducing unconscious bias, is to add structure and standardized performance for review and promotion processes. So what this could look like could be you can add rubrics for assessing employee performance and set clear criteria for filling leadership roles. So if there's a lead tech opportunity that's open, or supervisor position is open, or manager, what would somebody internally need to do, or what criteria do they need to meet in order to move into that type of a role? Sometimes in laboratories, I've seen it where a lead tech role come available or a manager role become available, and it seems like they didn't interview anybody, but next thing you know, somebody is in that role and there's no clear path of how to get there, but yet you have somebody in that role. So making sure that you structure those things, create a rubric, especially if there's going to be an internal promotion, so that other people feel like they too had an opportunity to go for that position, or they can know what they need to do in order when the next management role come up so that they are prepared. So strive to make performance-oriented and data-driven decisions when selecting candidates for promotion. Because when it seems like it's biased, then again, now you're starting to have employees that say, well, you know what? I'm not going to be able to move up here, so I need to leave the organization. There's no clear path for me. And then the last tip that I would say would be monitoring your pay scales. So regular review and monitor pay scales across the organization. Actively look for disparities or imbalances in salaries between different demographics. So also review raise and bonus eligibility policies and evaluate whether benefits are attractive to all employees. So those are some ways to help with retention. And I'm not gonna lie, there's no denying it that dismantling unconscious bias takes consistent hard work, because we're hardwired to take mental shortcuts, but our inferences have a social cost. When we rely on shorthand and guesswork, we miss out on a wealth of untapped potential. That potential that can take our organizations to the next level. Diverse, equitable workforces experience higher innovation, creativity, and productivity. So the work is not just worth the effort, it's imperative to success. So this is why I said from earlier, it's not all about the money. Money might get somebody in the door, but money can't keep somebody, right? And these biases that are in the workplace could be a reason why people are leaving. It's easy to communicate money. You're not paying me enough. I need to get paid more. It's a little bit harder for somebody to communicate, I feel like I'm bullied in the workplace, because then they don't want to be labeled as a problem. And so what they'll tell you when they decide to leave and find another opportunity that might be a better fit is they're going to tell you, well, they're paying me more money. So whether you're in the recruitment process or the retention process, it starts with education. Educating your employees must start at the top of the organizational chain. It must start with your leaders, not just your senior leaders, but also at the board level. The entire work culture starts at the top. So your executives, your senior leaders, your board, and management represent the moral standards to which the employees must hold themselves. So once management is trained and knowledgeable with the information about unconscious biases, then they can assist in the training of their employees that they manage. Having a discussion, being comfortable talking about unconscious biases that might happen among your team or in the workplace. And just to leave you with a practical illustration to cover this as we wrap up this particular episode, Stacy is explaining to her assistant, Trish, the effects that unconscious biases can have on the organization. There are so many ways that these unseen biases can negatively affect the company. I had no idea that one wrong decision could cause so many negative results. This isn't like sending the wrong order or forgetting to ship to an event, Trish asks. It can't be that bad, can it, Stacy? Stacy explained to Trish that if unconscious biases aren't identified and stopped, the organization could lose a lot more than just a few dollars. The first area that biases become obvious is in hiring. Then the company starts to lose employees and has to hire more people. After that, the company with a bad work culture develops a reputation for things like discrimination and a negative work environment. Oh, Trish says, we have to make sure that all of the employees know about these biases. I do not want the organization to develop a negative reputation. So just think about that as you go throughout your day in your laboratory. Think about Trish and Stacy and this conversation about unconscious bias, because it affects more than the finance. It affects everything about your organization if you have these unconscious biases. So thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Elaborate Topics. Please drop in the chat, share this podcast out. Let me know, what was your takeaways? What is your organization doing to minimize unconscious bias in the recruiting and retention process of employees? The way we grow together is that we learn together. So drop it in the chat, share with me. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, Taiwana Wilson, or any other social media platform at Coach T Wilson. That's Coach T-E-E Wilson. And thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. I hope you have an amazing week. Don't forget to share it out with somebody that could benefit from hearing from this message. Unconscious bias affects all of us. It starts with the leadership and it goes through the entire organization. Until next time, my friends, have an amazing week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.